Welcome to another Bible study brought by the Hamilton Church of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, we read, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This verse teaches us very plainly that in this life, there are other things involving us which are things that are not seen. The spiritual things. And we're to look to those things that are not seen. We're to know about them. We're to be aware of them. That's where our eternal destiny rests. And we can only know about these things which are not seen, these things which are eternal, by studying from the Word of God. So we invite you today to join us in our study of the Bible. As we continue our study in the book of Romans, we're now still in the 5th chapter of Romans, and ready to begin the 13th verse. This passage of Scripture is admittedly one of the most difficult to understand in all the Bible. And it's one that we do not want to try to derive some kind of obscure doctrine from, but we would just like to explain it in the most simple of terms and get the essence of what is being said. It's simply comparing here the sin committed and the consequences that sin had upon all men. He's comparing that to gift to us by Christ, offering given by Christ, consequences that had upon all mankind. He shows how that the sin of Adam definitely affected all persons, and how that the gift of Christ definitely can counteract that effect that the sin of Adam had on all persons. And so in verse 12 he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we see as a result of Adam's sin that all persons must die. Death passed upon all men because of Adam's sin. And then he says, "For that all have sinned." This seems to strongly imply that all have sinned through this sin of Adam, that Adam passed his punishment upon all mankind because of this sin. And in that sense, then, all have sinned. Now, Adam had a law that was a law of life and death. If he abided by the law, he had life. If he violated the law, he had death. He violated that law, so death passed upon Adam and all of Adam's posterity. So in that sense, we have violated the law of life and death through Adam, and so we must die. Now, this is a physical death. All mankind has to endure a physical death. And it also exposes us to spiritual death or eternal separation from God. We're exposed to that great danger also. And so he says in verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." Now man did sin. He did violate God's rules, but where God hadn't imposed his rules upon man, where God did not give a law, the sin was not imputed. And so from the period of time from Adam to Moses, some 2,500 years, there was no law of sin and death given to all mankind. Now, there were some instances like the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the instance of the flood, which brought about the death of most of the people in the world, that a man became so sinful that God did impose the death penalty. But these persons would have died anyway had God not seen fit to bring about a premature death because of their sin. They were still under the sentence of death eventually. They would have died. And of course, that sentence was brought about by the sin that Adam committed. And so to that extent, Adam's sin was passed upon all. This includes infants, it includes all mankind. All are under the sentence of physical death. All must die. All are also under the sentence of exposure to spiritual death. And so what I think he's saying here in this 13th verse is that from the time of Adam to Moses, there was no law given pertaining to life and death that was to all mankind. But yet, all did die. All died during that time. And it was because of this sin that Adam introduced into the world, which carried with it the sentence of death upon all of Adam's posterity. And so he says in verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." There still was death there, even though there wasn't a law about it given to all mankind. Nobody had a law like Adam had. Nobody had a law like Moses gave. But yet death did reign from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Those who didn't sin like Adam did, they didn't violate the same law that Adam violated because that law wasn't given to them, they still had to die. And he's just simply showing the universal nature of the sin of Adam, the punishment given to Adam. All have to have that same punishment. All have to die. And so then when he mentions Adam, he said, "Who is a figure of him that was to come." That is, Adam was a type of Christ. A type of Christ, you might say, in reverse. Because what Adam did in one direction, Christ did just the opposite in another direction. What Adam did to bring about death, Christ undid to bring about life. And so he says in verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." He's just simply saying that the offense of Adam, which means the fall of Adam, that wasn't like the free gift. The free gift was different. It was contrary to it. And then he explains, "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So he's just simply saying here that if through this fall that Adam had, his sin, which brought about his fall, which brought about death, if that sin made many be dead. He's simply contrasting here the fact that there was one act by one person which had an effect upon many, or that is, all other persons, made many be dead. Much more than the grace of God, that is, this gift of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, that is talking about the atonement that Christ made, his death for us, of which the grace of God provided. This gift, he says, hath abounded unto many. Simply contrasting it with the act of Adam. Where Adam brought death to many, Christ brought a gift of life to many. And so he says in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. So the gift from God is different from that was brought about by the one that sinned, that was brought about by Adam. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So it says the judgment. The word here judgment simply means the sentence passed by God to Adam. The sentence passed by God to Adam, which was that he should die, and that was passed on then to many, to the rest of mankind. The judgment was by one to condemnation. But the word condemnation here really means the condemnation of all humankind. This judgment that was given by God to Adam, the sentence passed upon Adam, resulted in the condemnation of all mankind. All mankind must die as a result of that. But he says the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, the free gift is the favor given by the work of Christ. This work that Christ did, which is the free gift, he said that it is of many offenses unto justification. That is, it is the pardon for all sins. Even during the time between Adam and Moses, although there was no law of life and death like Adam and Moses had, there was some law, and man did violate this law, and man was guilty of many sins, but not the sin that brought about his natural death. That came through Adam. But there still was violation of God's law. But here, this free gift, which comes from Christ, is of many offenses. That is, all the sins that mankind has done, regardless of what law he was under, whether it was the law of the patriarchs, or the law that Adam had, or the law that Moses gave, regardless of what law it was, all offenses may now be forgiven through this free gift of Christ. And so he gives a summary in verse 17 by saying, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that is because of this one offense that Adam committed, death came upon all mankind, death reigned by one. We still have that sentence of death today. We're all going to have to die this physical death. I don't care how righteous we are. I don't care how much we've gotten forgiveness of our sins. Still, this sentence of physical death is upon all of us. We still all must die. So then if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So death came by Adam, but we have a gift from Christ which he calls much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So they which receive abundance of grace, that is this overabundant grace that will overcome the effects of Adam's sin by far. It's the gift of righteousness. Where Adam brought the gift of sin, here we have now the gift of righteousness. And so not only are we going to overcome the death imposed on us by Adam, that'll happen in the resurrection. All are going to be resurrected from the dead. All will come forth from the grave. Christ then, in that act, will have nullified the effect of Adam's sin, which brought death. Christ will bring resurrection. Christ is going to bring life to all. But he says much more. And that is, the much more means that we will get forgiveness of our sins then. We can have forgiveness of our sins, which expose us to eternal death, which expose us to eternal damnation. So he goes beyond what Adam did, and he gives a chance for eternal life as a result of our sins. And so in verse 18 he says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, the offense of one is, of course, the sin that Adam committed. And this judgment was the sentence of death passed upon Adam to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Again, showing the great contrast between what Adam did and what Christ did. Now, we'd like to note that this is not stating that nobody's going to be lost or everybody's going to be saved. What he's simply saying here is that this gift is made available to all persons. This grace of God is common to all because it is offered to all, not because it's going to be accepted or embraced by all, but it's common to all because it's offered to all. Just as we may say there is a medicine that's a great cure for a certain disease that mankind has. Well, just because the medicine is there, and just because it's something that will work on the disease all mankind has, doesn't mean that all are going to partake of the medicine. Some may refuse to take it. Some may neglect to take it. But still, it's there, and it's available, and it's effective for all if they will but use it. The same is true of other things like water. Water is a very necessary element for mankind to have, but there may be some persons who will not drink of the water. But it nonetheless would be good for them if they would but partake of it. We could make another illustration of sunshine. Sunshine is something that all mankind can partake of and enjoy, but there may be some who are blinded, or some who will close their eyes and deliberately not look at the sunshine, not see the sunshine. And so it is with this free gift that came upon all men. It's available to all, but they must partake of it. They must embrace it. They must accept it before it's actually going to be something they can have or will have. And so it came upon all in the justification of life. Justification of life is the justification which is connected with eternal life. We're going to have a life that's going to be eternal. We can have that life. What a contrast it is. The sin that was in Adam is so obliterated by the gift of Christ that do we overcome the physical death by being resurrected, but we also have an opportunity to have eternal life, life that will never end, life that's going to be in the heavens with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, far outstripping the condemnation brought by Adam. The punishment brought by Adam is this promise of eternal life. So verse 19 gives an explanation of what's already been said. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now let's notice what this verse says. By one man's disobedience, that's Adam's sin, many were made sinners. That's the descendants of Adam. All of Adam's descendants were made sinners because of Adam's sin. But now let's look at this a little bit closer. They're not made sinners because they're guilty of Adam's sin. Adam's sin did two things. Adam's sin, first of all, brought death upon Adam, and all of his descendants have to die. So we're all punished because of Adam's sin. Our punishment is that we have to die. We die a physical death. Every person has to go through that punishment. Infants, adults, righteous, unjust, doesn't matter. Everyone has to die the physical death. But another thing that Adam's sin did was that it introduced sin into the world so that we, if we live long enough to become of moral accountability, we will become sinners because of our own deeds. Not because of Adam's sin are we sinners, but we're sinners because of we commit sin. Adam's sin admitted sin into the world, and so then we become sinners. So we're sinners because we commit sin. We have to pay the price for Adam's sin in that we die, but we pay the price for our sins in that we will have eternal damnation if we do not get our sins taken care of. So all were made sinners. We're going to be guilty of our sins when the judgment day comes, not Adam's sin. And so he says, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That is, because of the obedience of Christ as opposed to the disobedience of Adam. And this obedience of Christ means all of his works, everything that he did here, would be included in the obedience of one. Many shall be made righteous. He didn't say all should be made righteous, but many. Those who take part in the plan of salvation will be the ones who are included in this many. Now, all do not take part in the plan of salvation. He's already stated that in the earlier part of this book. He's proven that all will not be righteous. And so the word many doesn't mean all, but it means those who do participate in the plan of salvation should be made righteous. And he's showing the contrast between what Adam did, introducing sin, which not only caused mankind to die, the natural death, but also brought sin into the world so that man could commit sin, and what Christ did. Christ introduced a way to get forgiveness of our sins, and he also nullified this death penalty by causing all to be resurrected. We will be resurrected. That natural death that the body goes through will be counteracted by the work of Christ. So the death that we have to suffer because of Adam's sin is blotted out by the resurrection that we will experience because of the obedience of Christ. The spiritual death that we have to endure because of our sin is also blotted out by the fact that Christ will give us forgiveness of our sins if we follow the plan of righteousness. And this, of course, is what the gospel is all about. Well, at this point, the Jew might object by saying, well, this is what the law of Moses was to do. The law of Moses came to cancel out the effect of the sin of Adam. The law of Moses came to make us righteous. And so he explains in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, the law did not cancel out the sin of Adam. The law only magnified the sin that Adam committed, as well as the sin that his descendants committed. The sins of mankind are magnified by the law. It makes the offense or the sins abound, because now these sins are named. These sins are exposed to the light of what God's true will is about them, and so it only makes man more guilty, because he's now guilty of violating a law that's been given about sin. So mankind was not made less of a sinner by the law, but actually more sin. More sin was now known about, and so man is more guilty of sin. But then he said, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, this gift that Christ gave was even more able now to cancel out sin, because the more sin there is, the more sin it can cancel out, the more sin it can overcome. So the grace did much more abound. It superabounded. It was more effective. Whatever damage Adam did, whatever damage sin does, the grace of Christ can overcome that, so that it's even more effective, more of a benefit. The worse the sin is, the more the benefit is. So it concludes in verse 21 by saying, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sin that Adam introduced into the world brought about death. First of all, brought about the physical death that we all are going to have to go through with. And second of all, it brings about the spiritual death that we'll all have to go through with if we don't get our sins taken care of. So it reigned unto death. That was the ultimate climax, the ultimate goal of the sin brought in by Adam is death. He says, even so might the grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So this grace that we have through the gospel, this grace that we have through the works of Christ, doesn't reign unto death, but it's just the opposite. It reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. Not only does it blot out that natural death that we all have to incur when we're resurrected from the dead, but it also blots out that spiritual death we're going to have by getting forgiveness of our sins and giving us pardon for our sins. Our crimes, Our sins that we commit, not the sin that Adam committed, but the sins that we commit are what are going to doom us to eternal death, eternal damnation. And so it's our crimes, our sins we have to get taken care of. And that's what this grace of Christ, that's what this gospel does, this plan of salvation does. It reigns through righteousness, that is, through the plan of salvation. It reigns unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It gives us not only back our physical life, but it gives us that eternal life of the Spirit that we want, spiritual life, life in which we're going to be with God. Death is simply separation. And our spiritual death is separation from God. And so we get that back so that we can eternally live and be pleasing to God and completely cancel out our debt as a sinner. Completely be righteous, be holy, be one that is acceptable into the portals of glory, into heaven itself, because we now no longer stand as guilty, no longer stand as a sinner, but we stand as one who's been freed from sin, one who's been made righteous by this great gospel plan. That concludes the 5th chapter of Romans. It also concludes our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for the Jubilee yonder in the skies. What a day of singing,
singing,
oh, a day of shouting, shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory,
glory,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, glory,
when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the hymns will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. What a day of singing,
singing,
what a day of shouting,
shouting,
on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory,
glory,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
glory, when we meet our blessed Savior, realized in the skies. What a day of singing,
singing,
what a day of shouting,
shouting,
on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory,
glory,
hallelujah,
glory,
when we meet our blessed Savior, realize.